Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
The Bible paints a picture of a creator God, a powerful, amazing God who is able to do anything he chooses because it is his creation. And what God chooses to do is to come to us, whom he created, and to offer us a relationship with himself. Indeed, the Bible tells us that the very reason for which God created us was to be in relationship with us. Right at the beginning of the Bible, in the first couple of chapters of the book of Genesis, this is made clear as God creates Adam and Eve. And we are told that he talks with them and he engages with them and he spends time with them in a beautiful garden that he's made for them. For as Almighty God, he seeks to provide for his creation. He desires to be in relationship with us. Now, because as human beings, we tend to have a pretty high view of ourselves, we tend to be somewhat prideful. Some of us may say, well, I could kind of understand why God might want to have a relationship with someone like me. I'm a pretty good person. I'm fairly religious. I might know where my Bible is in my house. I pray every now and then. I'm watching this video. I could see why God might want to have a relationship with me. But the Bible is clear that God did not line up humanity, so to speak, and kind of pick and choose the better people among us and say to them, I'd like a relationship with you and with you, and I'll just maybe not with you. And no, that's not the way that Scripture tells us God has come to us. Again, the focus is on him creating us, not evaluating us once we were created, but in his creating of us. He has a love for us. The psalmist says that while we were still in our mother's womb, God was knitting us together. And God's love for us goes back long before we were even born, and certainly before we started behaving in certain ways and saying certain things and doing certain things. God has loved us from before we were born. And because he loves each one of us, he desires a relationship with each one of us. Jesus Christ, his son, came into this world, himself born of a mother named Mary. And as Jesus grew up and began his public ministry, one of the things that he taught was about his heavenly Father. And he wanted people to be clear on this point, that God loves each one of us because he created us. He told stories about this truth. Probably the best known of those stories that he told is a story of what we call the prodigal son, about a father who is looking down the road. Every day he walks out of his house and he looks down the road, hoping that his son, who took off from home, who said he wanted nothing to do with his dad and went to a far away place, every day the father, because he loves his son, is hoping that that is the day that his son may return to him and be reconciled, be brought back into relationship with his father, who has never stopped loving him, regardless of what his son has done. And in the story, indeed, the son, having gone through many, many experiences, both good and bad, at the end says, I need to go back to my Father. And he does. And the Father welcomes him and celebrate his son. And he says, my son who was lost has been found. And Father and Son are reconciled. That, Jesus says, is God with us. He tells similar stories. Jesus tells a story about a shepherd who has 100 sheep. And one evening as he's counting his sheep, he realizes that he has 99, but one of them did not come back with the flock. That sheep is now lost. And so he leaves the 99 and he goes looking for the one. Not because the 99 don't matter to him, but because he loves the one. And he goes looking and he finds it. And there is great rejoicing when he finds the lost sheep. Or the woman, Jesus tells another story, who has 10 coins. And she realizes one day that she's lost one of the coins. And she turns her house upside down looking for the one coin. All these stories are telling the same message. Jesus wants us to understand the nature of our Heavenly Father, who does not look at his children, who does not look at the sheep, who does not look at us being represented as coins and deciding that, well, what I have is good enough and I'm going to pick and choose among them as to who I will love and who I will care for. He loves us all because he created us. And his desire in creating us is to be in relationship with us. It is so sad that there is a common caricature that is in our culture today that paints a picture of God as this Old Testament character who is basically angry with people, who is always frowning, who's always upset, and who can't wait for us to die, so we have to go before him in judgment so he can condemn us and send us to hell. But thankfully, goes the caricature, in the New Testament, this good guy Jesus shows up and he kind of intervenes and he kind of thwarts God's desire to judge us, and he does something that can save us, and so we're okay and we're kind of protected from this bad Old Testament God. Well, you see, there is nothing that can be more wrong than that kind of a message. And Jesus did all he could to disavow us of that kind of a lie about God. I'd like to share with you just a few verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We have been making our way through 2 Corinthians these last several weeks, and just a couple of verses that Paul gives to us about this very issue of God's desire for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. All this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Paul is clear. God is the one who initiated the process of reconciliation. God's intent has always been and continues to be for every single human being to be in relationship with him. But sin interfered. Sin came into the world first through Adam and Eve, as we read about in the third chapter of Genesis, getting in the way of this relationship with God. God, a holy God, could not be in relationship with people who have sinned, who had become unholy. And so God had to remove Adam and Eve from his presence because of sin. And so the relationship with God is broken, and the love and the joy and the peace and all the other blessings that God desires to give us, his creation, in and through our relationship with him, have been lost. As human beings have sought weak substitutes at best, human love to take the place of the godly love they've lost, some kind of happiness to take the place of that ultimate joy, some kind of feeling okay about being in this world and having a sense of peace. And we realize as human beings that we are not able to have these things, at least not to the extent that they are able to fulfill the need of our soul. All the human ability and all the human desire for love and joy and peace and all the blessings that God desires to give us, we are not able to simply manufacture for ourselves. Weak imitations at best. And God knows this, and he says to us, come back to me. Come back to me that I can share with you all that I desire for you through a relationship with you, and you may experience that true love and that absolute joy and that heavenly peace that God, our Heavenly Father, desires for us. But sin must be dealt with. A holy God cannot simply set sin aside. And so he sends Jesus Christ, his only Son, into the world. And Jesus Christ willingly goes to a cross. He is crucified. He is killed, taking upon himself, the Bible says, the guilt for our sin. Something that you and I really do not comprehend intellectually. And yet by faith, if we believe it to be true, the Bible says that that truth will be credited to us, not because we deserved it, but because by faith we received it. And the death of Christ brings forgiveness for sin. And once sin has been forgiven, the way is open to reconciliation with God, to coming back into relationship with him, to being that prodigal child that returns to the Heavenly Father and says, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned against you. And the father removes his cloak and he puts it on his son, and he takes the ring of family, and he puts it on his son's finger. And he says, you are home again. Reconciliation. This is what God desires for us in our relationship with him. And he makes it available through his son, Jesus Christ. And it is available to each and every one of us, regardless of the kind of life we may have lived or how we see ourselves or whether or not we believe that we're worthy of it. God says, you are worthy because I have created you and I desire to be in relationship with you. The Bible goes on to speak of, and Paul makes reference to it in the verses that we read, that as people who have been reconciled with God, we now are to work at being reconciled with each other. Because in this world, we sin not only against God, but we sin against each other. And it is through that sin that love and joy and peace and all the other benefits that God desires to give us are gradually worn away. But we can begin to recapture them in our relationship with God, but also in our relationship with each other if we're willing to be reconciled with each other. The Apostle Paul, earlier in this fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, makes the statement that those of us who've been reconciled with God because we realize that God sees us in a different way than even we see ourselves or other people see us. He sees us as worthy when we see ourselves as unworthy. Paul says now, having been reconciled to God, it's time that we see other people the way that God sees us. That we see with a new optimism, a new vision, a new way of looking at other people, not as they are, with their faults and the mistakes that they have made and the sins they have committed, but to see them as God sees us, as someone who is worthy to be loved. To see us as God sees us with a hopeful vision. Hopefully God sends His Son into the world and He says, my desire is that you accept my Son as your Savior, that we may be reconciled. God did that knowing that many, many people would reject His Son. And yet, out of love, He sent Him anyway. Because He had a vision. He had a vision for His children returning to Him. And so Paul says, we who are now believers, we who have received this reconciliation, need to have that vision, that hopeful, optimistic vision of one another, even of people that we're having a hard time with, even people who might initially reject us, even people who may have hurt us because of the ways in which they have sinned against us. Today is Mother's Day, a day to celebrate our moms and to give thanks to God for all that our mothers have done for us. And if our mom is still living, for what she continues to do as she loves and cares for us. Our moms who raised us and who saw us at our worst and yet didn't give up on us. Our moms who worked tirelessly for us, encouraging us and disciplining us, praising us and scolding us, seeking to mold us into people who would have love and care and concern for others. For those of us who have siblings growing up, probably the first thing she had to work on was sibling rivalry, the way we treated each other as brothers and sisters. But she worked at it because she had a vision that things could be good. She had a vision of her little boy growing up into a young man who cared for others, who was willing to work hard and do his part. She had a vision for her little boy that he'd become a young man and who would marry a lovely woman and give her grandchildren. And similarly for her little girl. She had a vision that her little girl would grow up into a beautiful young woman, caring, giving, loving, being accomplished in the things that she set out to do, using the gifts and the abilities that God had given this little girl, that they may be displayed in the world. Our moms loved us, and they cared for us, and they had a vision for us, and an optimism that allowed them to look beyond our misbehavior, to look beyond those times that we wanted nothing to do with her, and to say, I still love you. Our moms did not reject us. They did not condemn us when we failed, when we messed up. She hung in there with us. And it's precisely because she was willing to hang in there with us in the worst times of our lives that so many of us are now experiencing the fruit of her labor and the reality that she never gave up on us, but continued to offer the very best she had. Our mothers are a wonderful illustration of what God does for us. For when we sin, when we fail, when we mess up, He does not condemn us. He does not turn His back on us. He does not say to us, that's it, I've had enough, I'm done. He hangs in there with us, and He's willing to do so as long as we draw breath in this world. God is there seeking to bring us into relationship with me, with Him, and desiring for us to know Him as the God who loves us, having created us to be in relationship with Him. You and I today may have people in our lives that we struggle with, people that we have a hard time getting along with, people that we certainly are not in relationship with, even though that we should have a better relationship than we do. Perhaps it's a spouse. Perhaps it's a child or a parent. Perhaps it is a coworker or someone else with whom you are in regular contact, and yet you are struggling. Are you willing to do as God has done for you? Are you willing to do what your mom did for you? Willing to set aside hurt? To not, as Paul says, count their sins against them. In our passage, it says, God did not count our sins against us. He didn't bring up our sins and say, look at this and look at this and look at this. Why should I love you? No, He didn't count them against us. He said, I have a plan for forgiveness. Are we counting the sins of people against us and thereby ruining the relationships? Because they've hurt us, we want to hurt them. Because they've caused us pain, we want to cause them pain. God says to us through His Word, set that aside. Because reconciliation and experiencing the blessing of caring and loving relationships is the highest way, is the very best way in which you can live your life with me as your Heavenly Father, and your life with one another. As human beings in this world together, seeking to encourage one another, to lift one another up, to care for one another, to love one another, God says, as I have loved you. God was willing to take the initiative with us. Our moms took the initiative with us. Are we today willing to take the initiative with one another? Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for Your Word. And we thank You for these verses from Paul, from his letter to the Christians in Corinth, which speaks of this reconciliation, making it clear that You, our Heavenly Father, reached out to us. Even while we were still sinners, You came to us in Your Son, Jesus Christ, because You desire reconciliation. And even though sin broke the relationship with You, You did not give up on us, and You did not give up on Your desire, on Your intention. But You found a way through Your Son, and You offered that way to us. And all we need to do by faith is to accept this free gift, to realize that we're not being evaluated based on our merits, that we're not being compared one with another, that some of us are not being loved and other people not loved. But rather, we are all created in You and by You. And we are all offered Your Savior, Jesus Christ. And all we need to do is accept. And in our relationship with one another, Lord, may we be willing to set aside hurt and pain. May we be willing to set aside some self-justification for why I shouldn't have to be the one to go and try to fix things. You are the one who hurt me. You should take the first step. Well, if God had said that to us, where would we be? If our moms had said that to us when we were little, what would have happened? But because they loved us, they did not. And so may we love one another, see one another with optimism and with a new vision, what can be, even though things may be difficult now. And because of what can be, and because of what love is able to accomplish, may we be willing to make the first move, to take the first step, to be the initiators in healing broken relationships, in seeking reconciliation. Lord, these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.